Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to another episode of ID the Future. This is Logan Gage for the CSC out in Washington, D.C. And I have joining me today Dr. Jonathan Wells, author of a new book review of Francis Collins' The Language of God, A Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Wells.
It's a pleasure to be here, Logan.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this book review that you've recently completed. Now, Francis Collins has recently, his new book has come out in paperback now, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, I have the paperback.
Well, it's no secret I've been a little bit critical of this book, too, but I wanted to ask you four questions about your own critique of Dr. Collins. I think the first thing that you raise in your book review is that Collins criticizes intelligent design for not living up to his standards for experimental verification, but then he seems to cite some experiments that he thinks go against intelligent design or show it to be false. How does he do that? What's an example of that?
Well, you're quite right. He claims intelligent design does not qualify as science because it makes no experimentally verifiable statements or predictions. But then he goes ahead and tries to disprove the irreducible complexity of, say, the human blood clotting system or the bacterial flagellum. Michael Behe's arguments. He tries to disprove those by citing evidence against them. So he's trying to have it both ways. ID isn't science because it's not open to experimental testing. But on the other hand, he says he has tested it and found that it's wrong, which is a contradiction.
Right.
What's also interesting is that the evidence he cites against the irreducible complexity of the blood clotting cascade and the bacterial flagellum, for the most part, is speculation based on very thin evidence. He says there were ancient gene duplications that would explain how these systems originated. And we certainly have evidence for gene duplication in some cases, but the rest of his argument is speculation. So it's a very weak case on his part.
Well, now, it also seems that his main argument against intelligent design is more of a philosophical nature. He thinks that the design argument is framed incorrectly as a so-called God of the gaps argument or an argument from ignorance. You know, I don't know what caused X, therefore God did it, or something like that. But what's wrong with his argument, that ID is a God of the gaps argument?
Well, first of all, he misdefines ID, intelligent design. Rather, like so many critics of ID, he doesn't take the definition of intelligent design that its proponents use. He redefines it to suit himself. Here's his definition of intelligent design. First of all, evolution promotes an atheistic worldview. Second, evolution is fundamentally flawed since it cannot account for the intricate complexity of nature. And three, if evolution cannot explain irreducible complexity, then there must have been an intelligent designer. Well, the first part is wrong. Evolution promotes an atheistic worldview. We get that more from Darwinists than we do from ID people. People like Richard Dawkins and P.Z. Myers.
Right.
But the second two, evolution is fundamentally flawed. Therefore, well, he says if evolution cannot explain irreducible complexity, then there must have been an intelligent designer. Well, it's true that if Darwinian evolution could explain a feature, then a design inference would not be warranted. But that's a necessary condition for inferring design, not a sufficient one. In fact, the design inference relies on what we know about design and what it can do, what intelligence can actually do. So the actual definition of design that ID people use is that certain features of the world are better explained by an intelligent cause than by unguided natural processes. And the way we determine that is we look at the evidence and we see things about nature, such as irreducible complexity, that in our experience are consistently a product of design and could not be produced otherwise. So there's a positive analogical reasoning involved, not just we don't know how it happened, therefore God did it.
I think you're absolutely right about there being a positive argument for ID, not just a negative one. But what do you say to the more critical listeners out there who are saying, oh, come on, you do think that Darwinism, you know, implies atheism or at least is on that end of the spectrum? You know, what do you say to those folks who say, well, come on, most of you are theists, et cetera, et cetera? You know, how do you respond to that sort of argument?
Well, there certainly are religious aspects to this controversy. I mean, the Darwinists bring it up more than we do. And as I said, many of them are hardcore atheists, people like Dawkins, Daniel Dennett, Christopher Hitchens, P.Z. Myers, and so on. So they bring religion into the debate routinely. And there's no secret that many ID people, myself included, think that the intelligence that did these things in nature is the God of the Bible. No problem. But the fact is that ID itself does not get us to that stage. All ID says is that we can infer from evidence that certain features of the world are better explained by an intelligence. The nature of that intelligence is unspecified. It's quite reasonable, I think, to infer from there that the intelligence is God. But that's an additional step, and it's not part of ID.
Mm. Well, getting back to Collins, now Collins says that ID poses a serious problem for Christian belief because it rejects Darwinian evolution, you know, which he says is supported by overwhelming evidence. We always hear this overwhelming evidence line. But you've criticized him kind of in return for not having very much evidence to back up his claim that the Darwinian mechanism can actually do what it's supposed to do and create novel structures and body plans. What's an example of that? I mean, what sort of evidence does he cite that you don't think is sufficient, let alone overwhelming?
Well, what we're talking about here, first of all, is not evolution in some general sense, change over time or changes within existing species. Those are uncontroversial. But what Collins is claiming to provide what he calls overwhelming evidence for is, quote, and this is a quote from his book, Darwin's theory of evolution, that is, descent from a common ancestor with natural selection operating on randomly occurring variations. So we have two elements to the theory, descent from a common ancestor and natural selection operating on random variations. For the second part, that is the mechanism, Collins basically cites minor changes within existing species. In other words, something completely uncontroversial, but something that does not get you to new species or new organs or new body plans. So he really hasn't provided any evidence that Darwin's theory explains the origin of species, which was the title of Darwin's book.
Hmm. But what about this common ancestry part of it? I mean, this seems to be, this takes up a large part of the book. What evidence does he cite for common ancestry, even if he doesn't have very good evidence for his proposed mechanism?
Well, he spends most of his time on the common ancestry issue, and he claims that evidence from the genome projects that he's quite familiar with is strongly in support of common ancestry. What's interesting is that his argument is basically this. He looks at certain segments of DNA. He says these segments have no function, therefore they were not put there by natural selection. They were simply inherited from a common ancestor. They're basically junk DNA. And this is evidence of common ancestry. Well, it's interesting, first of all, that when he does that, he says, why would God have put that there, being as how it's junk? Well, to me, that's very strange. Why would you argue for a scientific theory?
Yeah, sort of a theological argument for Darwinism.
Exactly. Darwin himself did it. But to me, it makes Darwin's theory very fishy indeed. The other thing is, and this is more important to me as a scientist, Collins is arguing that these stretches of DNA have no function, and maybe they don't, but the more we learn about the genome, and he should know this in his position, the more we're finding that, in fact, these segments of DNA do have function. So, in effect, what he's doing, he claims that ID is a God of the gaps argument. What he's using is a Darwin of the gaps argument. He's saying, since we don't know the function of these segments, therefore, they come from a common ancestor. It turns out they do have function. His argument falls apart. So his defense of Darwinian evolution has to retreat with each new advance in our knowledge. In other words, Darwin of the gaps.
Hmm. So you're saying he falls into the trap that he has said that ID basically falls into?
Yes, it's the kettle calling the pot black, if you will.
Well, I just have one final question for you. Where's your assessment of where Collins stands on this overall spectrum of biblical creationism all the way to hardcore neo-Darwinism? Where does, you know, because he's presenting himself as sort of a Christian, sort of a Christian who believes in Darwinian evolution. Where does he fit on this spectrum? Although he likes to call himself a theistic evolutionist, I'm not sure that's quite accurate because we tend to think of that as, say, a God-guided process. You know, where do you think that he fits in?
Well, I've never met Francis Collins, so I don't know his personal views on this. All I know is what I read in the book. One thing that comes across in the book is the sincerity of his Christian belief. There's no question about it. But oddly enough, the title of his book is The Language of God, A Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief. Well, the language of God is the sequence of the DNA, and yet, oddly enough, for him, that is not evidence for God or evidence for belief, because that's actually evidence for Darwinian evolution. So where he stands personally, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. He's certainly not a conservative biblical creationist by any means. I do think, from reading the book, that he's overly impressed by evidence for Darwinian evolution. Evidence that I think unravels the more we learn about it.
Well, Dr. Wells, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. And once again, Dr. Wells is a fellow of Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture. And this is Logan Gage for the CSC signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.